I want you to see this great statement here. There is nothing haphazard nor accidental about Jesus. Everything he did was intentional and with purpose. Even the many interruptions that he had, people that came to talk to him, it was all part of his mission. Everything he did was on purpose, was intentional, nothing haphazard, nothing by accident. And sometimes, I mean, that's the way our lives are. We often just kind of, this is what happened, right? But Jesus lived a different kind of life. And so when we look at the Gospels and we see how he lived, we have to look at it and go, he knew what he was doing. So we're coming up to Easter in a few weeks. And so what I want to do today is I want to start what somebody has coined the Advent of Easter. We do the Christmas Advent, but I'd kind of like to do an Advent of Easter. And we're going to start walking towards Easter. And today we're going to look at chapter 11 of Mark. And by the time we get to Easter Sunday, we're going to be in Mark chapter 16. And I want to show you what's happening. Jesus is pushing his disciples and us to think bigger in our faith. That's what he's doing in Mark chapter 11. Life on earth works hard at keeping our heads down and our hearts down, and we often can only see just what's in front of us, and we lose sight of what could be. Do we ever go through a week we feel like we're a little bit beaten down, a little bit overwhelmed, or maybe a lot overwhelmed? And life has a way of doing that, of just helping us and moving us, not helping us, making us put our heads down and our hearts down and just trying to get through hour to hour or day to day. Looking forward is difficult. So, if you want to go to Mark chapter 11, in Mark chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 12 or verse 11. But at the beginning of chapter 11, Jesus is coming in the triumphal entry. We're going to miss that, and I'm going to take you there on Palm Sunday. But I want us to go to verse 11. This is after the triumphal entry. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. So he arrived, and he goes into the temple, and after looking around carefully at everything, he left because it was late in the afternoon, and then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. Now I want you, it's easy to just kind of skim over that. But he arrives, a big party is there coming in. And then it seems like all the people kind of dissipate. All of a sudden the triumphal entry is done. Nobody's around anymore. They're just carrying on with what we're doing. And then it says, so Jesus came in and he went into the temple, which wasn't necessarily unusual, but what he does, notice what he does. He looked around. Now, how many of you know what he's going to do? Right? If you know the story now, he's eventually going to, I'm going to spoil it alert. He's going to, in a few verses, or the next day and time-wise, he's going to actually clear the temple. Okay? But you know, we'll get there. But he stands there and he just looks around. He's looking around and he's listening how loud that temple was. All the bleating sheep, the mooing cows, is that the right way to say that? All the people chattering and all the visiting and all the money changers and all of that was going on in the temple. It was loud. What was the temple supposed to be? A place of worship, a place of prayer. But there was none of that going on. Now, they were anticipating the Passover. That's what was happening. But it was all wrong. So what he does is he just stands there. Doesn't say how long, but I'm imagining he's standing there for a while. And he's looking. And he's thinking. And I'm sure he's praying. He's saying, Father, in heaven, this makes me so angry, what I see here. Does it not, you, God? What do we do? What do we do? He's trying to figure out, what do they do? So then, he goes back to Bethany. And verse 12, the next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. What? Did he not get breakfast? Did Mary and Martha not give him any food to go or anything? Like, he was hungry. Interesting. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. He was hungry. So I figured, there's a fig tree, I'm going to go and see what's there. But there were only leaves on it because it was too early in the season for fruit. Now, did Jesus know what season it was? Yes or no? Yes. Did he know that there wouldn't actually be figs on this tree given the season? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, he does. He created the fig tree, right? Then it says, and there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And the disciples heard him say it. How many of you have had any of you eaten a fig? Couple of you. Okay. So let's figure this out here a little bit. Ta-da! I got some figs. Golden dried figs. I should probably wash my hands a little bit before I, touch all that. Just so you see, because it's going to be important in it. Okay, so I'm going to pull out a few of these here. Oh, does anyone want to taste any? So apparently you're supposed to cut off the end. Then I'll cut it in half. Interesting. Now, I've never had a fig before. I've never eaten figs. So it's interesting what's inside of it. Yeah, can you put up that fig tree there? Thank you, Dwight. Okay, so I'm going to just, cut these off here a little bit. And don't worry, I know how to handle a knife. I will not cut myself. Oh, just kidding. So anybody want to try a fig? Okay, so this is the way we're going to do it. I'd like two elementary school kids to come up here. You're in elementary school? Come on up. Stand and form a line right behind me. Hudson? Come on up, Sadie. Okay? Okay, I'd like two middle school students. Oh, right away, you guys. Keeners. Anyone know what Keeners? I said Keeners to some people at the hockey rink the other day, and they didn't know what I meant. Okay. Two high schoolers, come on up. All right, Hayden and Leland, okay. Two young adults, come on, Ava.
Orin, get up here.
He's a high schooler, he can't come up.
Oh,
man. Oh, yeah, we got a couple of guys here. Okay, good. Two middle-aged adults. All right, there you go, Becky. Excellent, excellent.
No, that was a minute. Come on.
Come on, one more. one more. Come on, Joel, get up here. You're middle-aged. Oh, no, you're a senior. Okay, sorry. Vicky's coming. Okay. And I need two seniors. Joel? Joel, you're a senior. You're older than me. Oh, come on. You had a successful surgery. Come on. Okay, good. All right. Grab a napkin, everyone. Okay, so what you're going to do is in a moment, you're all going to grab a fig, but you're not going to eat it. We're going to eat it all at the same time, and then we're going to watch what our faces look like. Because I'm going to eat one too. I think I'm going to need a couple of more napkins. Can I have a couple more napkins here? Okay. Oh yeah, you need. They're kind of like.
Have you ever eaten one of those?
No, I've never eaten one of these. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Okay. All right. You got enough there? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Come up and grab one. Grab just a half there. Don't eat it yet. We're gonna eat it all at the same time. Come on up. You don't have to do a line, just come and do it. Just grab it. Don't have to be formal. We will be, yes. Because we are in church.
We've been well trained.
Well. Okay, of you up here, how many of you have had a fig before? Just the two of you, three of you?
Okay.
A fig Newton. Yes, I have some of those as well. So, okay, on the count of three, we're gonna pop the whole. Don't worry, that isn't a trick. It's not poisoned. It's. I unwrapped it. We bought it at Superstore in Winkler last night after we visited Iris. So it's all good. And I'm eating two. Okay. Okay. All right. So on the count of three, we eat it all together. One, two, three. Okay, what do you think?
It's a raisin. It
tastes like a raisin. Like a raisin, isn't
it? The texture is awesome.
A prune? Yeah. Okay. Would you go out and buy figs again?
No.
Now, apparently, if you search it on the internet, because the internet knows everything, you can put figs with cheese, and you can mix figs in your salad. Actually, we brought a salad. I should actually cut up the rest of it and throw them in there. Oh no, it's a bacon Caesar salad. That won't work. How many in favor of that? No, just kidding. Okay. All right. Is that good? If you want another one, you can take another half there, and then you go sit down. Okay. Thank you. Yep. All right. Okay. Anybody want a Fig Newton? Then just stand up. Judy's gonna hand out the Fig Newtons. I'm gonna cut up a couple of more of these figs here. We'll just have a commercial break and then we'll get back into it. Anybody want a fig? All right. Okay, anybody else want a fig? No. Anybody else? Anybody else? Whoa! In the mouth right away. Anybody else? Five-second rule. One more. Ready? Good job. All right. Okay, now. We're going to carry on in this story. We're going to carry on in this story and go, okay, what's going on here? So he clears the temple. And then they go home. The next day, they come back. So we're going to verse... where are we here? Now he knocks over the tables, money changers, tells them that my temple is to be a house of prayer for all the nations. And that's interesting. My temple is for all the nations. This is the thing that the Jews were missing. And that sometimes we as churches miss as well. The temple was for all people. But because of what the Jews were doing with the temple, it prevented the Gentiles, the non-Jews, from actually coming there, for going in there and worshiping God and getting to know God. And he's saying, this is for all people. That's what made Jesus really, really upset. So verse 19, that evening Jesus and the disciples left the city. The next morning, verse 20, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered. Notice how it had withered from the roots up. Now, some of you as gardeners and farmers would know, like Roundup, it's the leaves, goes right down to the roots and then destroys the plant, the weed, from the roots up. The most effective way to actually kill a plant, right? I think I'm right, right? Right. Kevin, am I right? Yes, as a farmer, okay? And Jesus did the same thing. Just by speaking a word, cursing it, it withered. In 24 hours, it withered from the roots up. Now, why? Peter remembered that what Jesus had said to the tree the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the tree you cursed has withered and died. What was Jesus trying to do? Was he just mad that he didn't have breakfast? Say no. No. Okay? Remember, everything that Jesus does has purpose and intention. Nothing is haphazard. And sometimes, at least I have, when I've read through the story, I'm going, oh, this is a weird little thing in the middle of some significant events. But here's the point. In scriptures, and the Jews would know this, the fig tree often represented the Jewish people. It was used in scripture, especially in the Old Testament, of the Jewish people. This is who you are. You're represented by a fig tree. Jesus had just come through the triumphal entry. He had walked into the temple. He looked around. Notice the timing of it all. He looked around and he went back to Bethany. The next morning he curses the fig tree, which represents Israel, the Jewish people. He goes in and he clears the temple. He is so upset at what the people had turned the house of God into. And then the next day, the disciples notice that the fig tree is dead. What's he saying? He's saying to the Jewish people, you can have all the leaves, the green leaves that you want, but you are now cursed. Because you did not tell the nations about Almighty God, the Holy God, the God of compassion, the God of love, the God of forgiveness, the God of compassion, everything. You refused to tell all the nations around you who I am. And Jesus himself is showing up. God himself is showing up and made the triumphal entry, and he's been proving to the people that he is the Messiah, he is God, and he kept being challenged, and he was challenged here by the religious leaders, the men that were in charge of the temple. They kept attacking him and chastising him and criticizing him and questioning him. And Jesus is now saying, this is it. You are now destroyed from the roots up. It's a bold statement. What happened to the Israelite nation in 70 AD? Sacked by Rome. It was decimated. It was destroyed. And Israel ceased being a nation. The nation Israel disappeared for 1900 years. It disappeared. The Jewish people were all over. But the nation itself was destroyed. And the temple was destroyed by the Romans. And it's a whole nother story, but Israel came back in what year? 1948. They became a nation again. That's a whole nother topic. We're not going there. That's too much for this morning. Look at what Jesus was saying. Powerful. The figs represented peace, prosperity, and well-being to the nation of Israel. That's what they represent. Figs also represented the nation of Israel in the scriptures. They were to be a light to the nations, bringing Gentiles to God, but it was all flowery and green leaves and no fruit. So, how do we move towards application? Don't go there yet, Dwight. Let me ask these questions. What does that mean to you and I? What about our church? Do we have nice green leaves only? Or do we have fruit too? It's a good question to ask as a church. Do we just have flowery leaves? Do we have fruit? Ask our own lives. Ask me, do I have just flowery leaves in my life? Or do I have fruit that God would be pleased of? It's a good question to ask ourselves. Now, Jesus goes on to verse 22. Then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, so he's comparing to a fig tree, to a mountain that they just happen to be looking at over there. You can say to that mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Now, he's being exaggerate. He's hyperbole, if you've heard that term. He's making a broad statement. You can pray and move that mountain. But you must really believe that it can happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe it, you will receive it. It will be yours. See, what Jesus is talking about, now he's pointing them to the future. What's going to happen at the end of this week here? What's going to happen by Friday? What's going to happen? Crucifixion. Jesus is going to die. He's been hinting to his disciples all along. They weren't getting it, understandably. Then what happened on Sunday after Friday? The resurrection. What happened the next 40 days? Jesus walked around with his disciples, did some more teaching. What happened at the end of the 40 days? He ascended, yes. He ascended, and what happened 10 days afterwards? Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came in power. So Jesus, in a sense, is saying, disciples, who are all Jewish, disciples, open up your eyes to what is coming. Open up your eyes. This is a little fig tree that actually hasn't been doing its job properly. But look at what kind of mountain that's going to be coming. This huge thing of my death, my resurrection, my ascension, and the Holy Spirit will be coming, and then it'll just blossom all over the world. That's what's coming, and you can pray then. And we'll be moving mountains, and we'll be doing all kinds of things around the world for Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying to us, I believe. Look at your lives, our individual lives, and go, do I matter? Yes. Who am I? Thank you, Brian. Who am I? The God who loved me? But he says to each one of us, is there something in your life that you want to see happen? An answer to a prayer. Do you want to see something change in your circumstances? A friend or family member coming to Jesus or coming back to Jesus? Or to see something in a ministry or in whatever you're trying to live for God? Do you want to see something happen? Look ahead. It can happen because of everything I've done that we'll be looking at over the next number of weeks. Everything can happen. And then he says, church, what can you dream for a church? What can you imagine that our church would be and the church around the world? What? Jesus says, can I do with you? What can I do in you? What can I do through you? What can I do for you? What can I do with you? Such a simple, powerful illustration of taking a fig tree. A simple fig. Nothing more than a raisin. And say, I will do so much more. Can you believe it? Can you trust him? You see. So then we go to application and reflection. What do we do this week? Eat some figs and some fig Newtons. We didn't even hand those out. Oh, did you? Okay, good. Thank you. Go this week. You can get them almost anywhere. Eat some figs or some fig Newtons and eat some figs. And as you're thinking about it, remember this message. There's more that God wants to do. Number two, what is something that seems too big in your life to pray for? What's something that you look at your life and go, that will never happen. I can't see that happen. God can't do that. And then at the end of this passage, in verse 25, Jesus says, and when you are praying, first forgive anyone who is holding a grudge, you are holding a grudge against. Oh, that might be something we need to get out of the way. So eat some figs. Pray. Forgive. And then let's look ahead together as a church. Where are we going over the next few weeks as we anticipate the story we know so well of Jesus dying for us and rising from the dead? Let's do that. Brian, would you come up? I'm going to pray, and then we'll close the song. Lord Jesus, thank you. You are so intentional, so in charge. You know what you're doing. And I pray, Jesus, that you would enlarge us as to what you want to do in and through us, individually and as a church. We thank you for that, Jesus. Move us, we pray in your name. Amen.